shock losses.
The mix of people that are on a plan are going to cause higher volatility. So if you have fewer sicker people on a program, then you're going to see ups and downs and spikes. The zero I'm thinking about pays a significant portion of the dependent costs, along with the employee costs. And so they pretty much have everybody on it, right? I mean, in other words, there's no cheaper alternative to cover your family, so the vast majority of the staff members cover their family member, unless the spouse works somewhere else, then maybe they cover the kids or whatever. But so the broader the mix, plus everybody's on it, as opposed to just the sicker people on it, right?
I'm assuming if you're sick, you're going to be on insurance. You're going to have it.
That is, if you can figure out a way, that's what you're going to do, because it's a good investment for you, right? I mean, you can pay X amount of dollars. It's still terrible, but it's less than you'd pay if you didn't have insurance. And so that does. I mean, you guys obviously, I think, pay $100 for dependent costs right now. So that is that's helpful.
$100 a month.
Correct. And so, you know, in the case of some of the ones, if, you know, if they're paying 2/3 of the dependent costs, then they're going to have pretty much all the dependents, as opposed to if you're paying $100 a month, you're going to have some of the dependents, more than you'd have if you didn't pay anything, right? But less than you'd have if you paid 2/3 of the cost, because obviously $100 isn't going to cover 2/3 of the cost. And so the mix, and then, you know, I guess the grand puzzle is the county would have to pay more to do that, right? If you're paying 2/3 of the premium. And the question is, would you get it back in that you would get a bunch of people on the plan that are healthy, have less than $1,000 worth of claims, right? But then you get X amount of premium, get their premium dollars that they're paying as well. And how does that balance out? And
so you may not save money, but you'll probably not spend more money.
There will be an offset, absolutely. And whether it will come out even or not, I can't tell you. And we'll never know, because you don't know what would have happened otherwise.
And then that's the group you said is zero. The group that was 36% increase, what do they look like?
They pay for a portion of the employee premium, zero on it.
What other health assessment things, what other smoking cessation programs and what else is out there as far as how do those look with the zero and the 36?
The zero has a very progressive program in regard to that. In other words, they have had an anti-smoking, you can't smoke in their facilities, on the campus, in their vehicles, anything like that. If you choose to use, not just smoking, but if you choose to use tobacco in any form, then you have to pay 20% of your cost. So it's no longer 100%. They're going to pay 80%. You have to participate, you are required to participate in an HRA, which is a health risk assessment, where they do height, weight, blood pressure, do a blood draw, check your cholesterol, your triglycerides, all those various things. If you choose not to participate in that, then you have to pay, I believe it's 10% of your premium. And so they are pretty, big on that, and I'm a believer in the HRAs, because at least once a year, you know, everybody is going to go take a look. I mean, you can see in your data that you've got a certain number of people that didn't even go to a wellness checkup last year. People will find out that they have high cholesterol that didn't know it. People will find out that they have hypertension that didn't know it. You know, those kind of things. If those people get on medications and get treatment, then they're not going to have the heart attacks, the strokes, the big claims that then hit the report, or at least a lot less likely to do that. So the 0% is very progressive, I guess would be the best word, or very, you know, out on the edge with looking at those things. Just recently put in place, it used to be you just had to get your results and look at them. Now if you get a bad result, they ask you to get coaching. So if you have high cholesterol, you're going to need, I think it's 3 half-hour sessions or something, where they teach you what causes high cholesterol, you know, maybe work through your diet, look at your lifestyle, and try to help you to cut out some things or modify some things that would help with that issue.
I think the state does it. Did the state do that when you were?
Yeah, they had some of that.
I was thinking the state did something like that.
Now, there's not a requirement that you have to specifically, quote-unquote, get it down. It's just basically a participation-based thing. It's not an outcome-based thing. But there are that, and again, and you know, it's outliers. I don't want to really take these two accounts in my mind and take them.
If you have bad,
ugly cancer claims, then you just, you know, it is what it is, and you go on down the road. But I would say the groups that are doing wellness type activities that are, you know, basically charging. If somebody wants to use tobacco, that's their own business. I mean, this is Taney County. I don't want to tell anybody what to do. On the flip side, we know that if you use tobacco, that over time you're going to have higher health claims than the person that doesn't, on average. So should there be a cost to that? And that's for you guys to decide.
But we seriously discussed that last year. We discussed it the year before. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of talking about it again.
Right.
And this may be more for Don, what's the percentage of our employees that do the health assessment? That do it here. We don't know that they don't go to their own doctor and have, like, if I have blood drawn or whatever, I just go to my doctor.
And what I've done, our company has a wellness program. I've just offset it 6 months, so I go in for my physical in November, and then we have our HRA, and I just make sure that they're kind of, so that way I get two checks in a given year, or there's been times where my primary care physician said, well, you got it back in, but I think you're fine. Taking it in.
How does negotiations work with the insurance agency? Do you actually get to sit and talk to somebody? Is it something submitted online? Or whenever you go to them and say, hey, you know, you included some stuff that we don't necessarily think is fair or right, how do you present that?
Typically what I do is exactly what we talked through today. I would just challenge and say, hey, here's your renewal formula. Why did you blend us? You know, this is a mature group, whatever. I would just basically email or throw it out. If I don't get the right responses from them, I might drive up. The nice thing about Cox Health Plans is they're on National Street in Springfield.
So you're actually able
to... I can just go in and talk to them if I need to.
Are you able to say if the county is willing to look at some better assessments and better... smoking cessation programs, are you able to use that as a negotiation tool to get it down to zero?
It is a tool. However, typically what you get from that is no problem when they put those in, and that'll drive those costs down, so they'll see those savings over time, as opposed to we're going to bet on the come up front about those. But yes, obviously.
You represent us, not them.
That is correct. And so... you know, honestly, they never come back and say, okay, yeah, you're right, you caught us here, or you caught us there. They just say, okay, it's 8.5, what does it need to be? If we make some good points and just talk about, you know, hey, it's a long-term client and all that, it's just negotiations across the table, and then they'll come back and say, well, if we did this, would is that good enough to renew? And then that's when it comes back. Unless you want to give me a target number and say, give me X and we'll renew, and then we can handle it like that.
I don't want to tell them. I want to say an open session. They may be listening to our meeting.
Right.
Then they'll know what we're willing to do.
Right.
What do you guys think? I think you probably need to go ahead and talk with them, see what you can get them down to. We'll have an answer, you said, not necessarily this week, but within 2 weeks.
You wanted it next week, didn't you?
In a perfect world, and a lot of it just comes down to how much we change. You know, if we were to decide to go to bid, then obviously that takes longer than that. But we would, just as soon as we can get it, that's what we'll do.
Can you think you can talk to them this week and give us an email?
Absolutely.
To know if you can do any good, so we know whether or not it'd be to put it on for, let me see, next Tuesday, is that the meeting next week?
Tuesday the 13th.
Typically, yes, particularly if I can get to them now, because they've got a senior management meeting that will occur sometime this week.
Because like you said, if we do have to go out for bid, and we don't want to get into late in the season pushing it.
Do you'll need to know if there's going to be any changes one way or the other to employee to dependent care, isn't it, by next week?
As far as dependent premiums and things, yes and no. I mean, in other words, if I can get the predominance of everything figured out, say, hey, I know we're going to renew with Cox if that's what we do or whatever, then I think I can get the, you know, the system being built, and if all we're doing is then changing a contribution level, we can kind of kick that in toward the end. But I've got to have the majority of it settled by, you know, as soon as possible.
Is it still the same whether I have one child or 10 child, the premium's the same?
Correct.
So if we were to pay, like some have done, you said, when they're getting a lower premium, if we were to pay for the dependents, then would we pay one premium? It'd be the same way. We would pay for one child.
It would really come down to if you, you know, and you can either do a flat dollar amount like you do currently, which would just say, hey, we're going to, instead of $100, we're going to pay a different amount, and that would just, whether people had spouse, kids, or full family, it really wouldn't matter like it does today. Or what oftentimes employers have done is a percentage, to say, hey, we're going to pay X percent of dependent premium, so that's different for spouse than it is for children, and the most expensive for both the employee and the county would be if somebody had full family under the plan.
I think the question that Commissioner Wyatt was asking is, it's the same if it's one kid versus 10 kids. Is that what you're asking?
The premium.
And the premium is the same. Family is everybody.
So if the county was to decide to pay for the family,
It wouldn't change based on how many kids it had.
But yet you would get more children on.
It's a better deal. The more kids you have, the better deal it is for you.
So as far as the smoking cessation programs and that stuff, you don't necessarily have to have a decision by next week. The decision would be whether we're going to go out for bid or accept something here by next week.
That would be, yes, we can do that. Part of it is typically we build in what that contribution rate is into the system, so when the employee is signing up, they know, hey, this is going to cost me X, so I've got to know that.
There comes in your penalty, 10% or whatever.
In the past, you had suggested that we put it out to the employees, give them time to think about it, don't do it immediately, like if we were going to do it now. Now we're a year down the road, like we would offer it to them, and they would have until the spring or something, they'd know for next year, but we're too late for that for this year.
I would, the way we would normally do it would be yes. In other words, commit to it. If you're going to, you know, say that this year, hey, we are going to go, if you say you're going to have a tobacco surcharge, then just say, hey, this is where we're headed, and we're going to do that, and it would really probably take effect in 2022. And then we're going to have the smoking cessation and other options available for you to basically quit or whatever if you choose to do so in time for the health risk assessment, which would then determine whether you're a tobacco user or not, and therefore would predicate your premium in 2022.
Yeah. How does that work on your dependent care, if a spouse or when your kids
smoke? You know, there's different ways of doing it. Sometimes it's honor system. And sometimes it's, I've seen it as far as, well, the spouse has got to come in and get tested. Now, a 17-year-old kid, I've never seen the scenario where they, you know, were testing teenagers or whatever for that. But, you will have some people that will flout the system, you know, and say they don't smoke or don't chew or don't whatever when they do, if you have the honor system. But on the other hand, it at least it's somewhat effective in getting people.
So in that, we would want to have our mind made up by enrollment time, and we would let the employees know. The commission would have to have their mind made up to know.
And then there'd be a little bit of the, Ms. Moeller and I were talking just a little bit ago, if we do online meetings this year, then unfortunately we won't have the chance to be in front of them like we normally would be, so we'll have to put together a communication campaign.